rework from beginning to end and have found a lot of very beautiful new things over here, and it's it has become a great favorite of mine. All right, with that having been said, let's go. Parashat Toldot, Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holidit Yitzchak. These are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Vayihi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shona. Yitzchak was 40 years old. Bekachto et Rivka bat Betuel ha'Arami. Yitzchak was 40 years old when he took Rivka, the daughter of Betuel the Aramian, from Padan Aram. Achot Lavan, the sister of Lavan, Ha'arami, the Aramian, lowly Isha unto him for a wife. Now, by the way, nearly all the information in this pasuk was already available earlier, except for how old Yitzchak was at the time that he got married. But we already know that Betuel was her father, and we know that Lavan was her brother, and we know that she came from Padan Aram. So there must be a reason why Torah expresses it again so clearly now. So Rashi says, there you have the Rashi, number two, Bad Betuel mi Padan Aram achot Lavan, the daughter of Betuel from Padan Aram, sister of Lavan, v'chiyadayin lo nechtav. Has it not yet been written, Shehibad Betuel, that she's the daughter of Betuel, and that she is the sister of Lavan, and that she comes from Padan Aram? So why does the Torah repeat all of this information? Ella lahagid shifcha, to tell us of the praise of Rivka, shahita bat rosha, she was the daughter of a wicked person, she was the sister of a wicked person, and the place she came from was a place of absolute evil, wicked people, the lo lomda min ma'aseihem, and she did not learn from their evil deeds. That's quite an accomplishment. I would say that it's a little bit more than an accomplishment. That's awesome. And you know what that has to inspire with in us? The question, how did it happen? She's a little girl. She's surrounded by evil. In her house, the whole society is evil. And she's Rivka, the tzaddikus. How did it happen? The question, of course, becomes compounded when we look back in Parashat Chayesava. First of all, they give that description of the awesome chesed. Here are these 10 camel riders with their 10 greiser camels. And here's this young damsel who's going down to fetch water. And Eliezer says, he asks her, "Could you give me a little bit of water?" And he has yet said, "Listen, God, if the one that I'm going to ask give me a little bit of water, and she's going to tell me, not only will I give you to drink, but I'm also going to give to your camels. This is the one that you've set aside for Yitzchak. This is a zivug min hashamayim, a marriage made in heaven." It says she went down, she went down to the spring, she filled up her jug with water, and she came up, and the servant ran to her and he said, "Let me have a sip of water from your jug." And she said, "Shtei Adoni, drink, my master." And she hurried. She put down her jug, Vatashkei, when she gave him to drink, Vatachalashkoto, she finished giving him to drink, and she said, "Gamli gmalecho eshav, I'm also going to fetch water for your camels. Adim kilulishtot, until they finish drinking." I mean, I don't know, what is it? The camel is called the ship of the desert, Sfinat Hamidbar. You think I have a clue how much water a camel can drink? And here is this young girl who's going to fetch water for 10 camels, not one, 10 camels. And here are these big, husky, strong, powerful camel riders who are just standing there, and they're twiddling their thumbs while this young girl is fetching water for them. There's something a little strange about this. I mean, strange is not so much the that the camel riders are standing there, but that she does it. That she does it. Vatamahir, again it says she hurried. And she poured the water into the trough. She ran again to fetch water, and she fetched for all of his camels. Obviously, there has to be an association here. The only association is the one at the beginning of Parshat Vayera. 99-year-old Avram, three dusty Bedouins come to his house the third day after his circumcision. And the words you hear are Vayimahir, and he hurried. Vel habokor rots Avram, the same words. Hurry, run, run, hurry. For a bunch of camels. For three Bedouins. As we discussed this matter when we were dealing with Avram, there's something exaggerated about Avram Avinu's chesed, and we explained the reason for it. But here, this girl is unusual, exceptional. How did it happen? We're surrounded by all of these people who are takers. Lavan the Achami is a taker. He's one who tricks, who connives. And she's a giver of such outstanding proportions. Right? Later on in the parasha, in number 4, where it's underlined, it says, "Vayikru l'Rivka." After Eliezer has already told the whole story, and they're sort of getting ready to agree to the shidduch, so they say, "Wait, let her wait for a number of months or a year," and he says, he's very tough about the shidduch Eliezer. He says, "Listen, God has given me great success. This is it. We're not waiting. We're not waiting. Let me go." So they said, "Let's call the girl and ask her." Vayomru nikru lanara, let's call the girl, minishalag piyam, we'll ask her. Vayikru l'Rivka, they called Rivka, vayomru elea, and they said to her, "Telchim ishazeh, will you go with this man, vatome?" One word. They were saying, "It's awesome. I'm going to have to find a more awesome word than awesome," but that's what it is. In these three letters, this word, Eilech, Klai Yisrael is born. She has to leave everything that's familiar. Avraham Avinu needed God to appear to him and tell him, "Lech Lecha, go." This girl, Eilech, one word. What a powerful word this Eilech is. By Yishalchet Rivka, they sent Rivka, their sister, Vet Mei Nikta, and her nurse, Vet Eved Avram, Vet Anoshov, the servant of Avram and his men. And they blessed Rivka, and they told her, "This is a bracha that you give to a kala by the chuppah, Achutenu, our sister, At Hayi La'alfei Revova. You should become thousands of myriads, thousands of myriads. The Yirash Zarech et Shar Sonov, and your enemy, your children shall inherit the gates of their enemies." Vatokam Rivka, Rivka and her girls, they got on the camels and they followed the man. And at the same time, Yitzchak is on his way out. And the words underlined by Yitzchak Asu al Tarsada, Lifnot Erev, Yitzchak went out. Chazal tell us it means he went out to pray, and he lifted his eyes and he saw, behold, the camels are coming, and of all things, Rivka lifts her eyes as well at the same moment. This is sort of kesher ayin, they say in Hebrew. Is it possible that their eyes meet? Tateh at Yitzchok, she saw the Yitzchok at Tipol Mea HaGamal. It really means that she slid off. There was a certain slid off because she was moved by what she saw. She said to the servant, who is this man coming to the field? Who Adoni, this is my master. And she took the veil and she covered herself. The next pasuk. What a pasuk. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. Vayikach et Rivka, he took Rivka. Vatil lo leisha, and she was a wife unto him. Vayehoveha, and he loved her. Vayinochem Yitzchak acharei imo, and Yitzchak was consoled after the passing of his mother. On the other side, Rashi is going to tell us the meaning of this pasuk. In number 6, we'll go back to number 5 in a moment. Number 6, Ha'ohela Sora Imo, into the tent, Sarah his mother. Vayivieha Ha'ohela, he brought her into the tent. Vaharehi Sora Imo, she's just like his mother, Sarah. Because he brought her to the tent. You know, it should have said Shel Sora Imo, the tent of his mother Sarah. It doesn't say the tent of his mother Sarah. He brought her to the tent. Sarah his mother. Because the pasuk wants to tell us that when he brought her into the tent, do you know what? Of all the amazing things, she is his mother Sarah. In what respect is she his mother Sarah? So Rashi says, she calls man she Sarah kayemes. As long as Sarah was alive, hoyoner doluk, a lamp would light continuously, may erev Shabbos, the erev Shabbos, the candles lasted from one erev Shabbos to the next. Ubrocha mitzuyo beisov, there was blessing in the dough, a little bit of dough lasted for a long time. Va'anon koshur al ha'ohel, and there was a cloud of glory above the tent of Sarah. And when Sarah died, all these three stopped. And when he brings Rivka into the tent, there's the cloud of glory there. The candles remain lit a whole week, and there's blessing in the dough. Ukeshemesa, Rashi says, but when Sarah died, Pasku, they stopped. Ukeshebos Rivka, and when Rivka came Chazru, it all returned. All right. Let's go back for a moment to the number 5. Number 5, that Rashi is after Rivka fetches all of the water and gives his camels to drink, and all of this takes place, and he gives her the rings and the bracelets, so it says that she ran to tell Lebeit Imo, she went to her mother's house. Rashi says, Derech Hanoshim Haitali Hotlen Bayit. It was common practice that the women would have their own house. Leishevo lemelachtam, to sit there while they do the work. Ve'ein habat magedet elo le'ima. A daughter goes and tells a mother. Certainly something like this, you tell a mother. All right. Okay, so she went and told her mother. Obviously what was bothering Rashi was, you're not going to tell your father. You're not going to tell your father. I mean, we assume, obviously, he finds out later, but all right. I mentioned this Rashi only because I believe that there may be a great deal more in this Rashi that meets the eye. Just as we have been saying for many, many years, there's a great deal more in every Rashi that than meets the eye at first glance. All right. So now she is his mother, Sarah. We've just now compounded the question. How did this girl become such a great balas chesed? And now it's more than a balas chesed. She's a tzaddikus. And where does she come from? That was last week's sedra. This week's sedra, you know where she comes from. A tata rosha, a brother of a rosha, a place, a society, a home, a city, everything. And this gem, how does it happen? How does it happen? So now we have to take you to Parashat Vayishlach. In Parashat Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu returns to Eretz Yisrael. There's the great confrontation between him and Esau, who's coming toward him with 400 men armed to the teeth. There's the nocturnal struggle between Yaakov and the Malach of Esau, and Yaakov is the one who emerges ascendant and victorious. And then after that, they finally come to the city of Shechem, and he favors the city. He builds something. He buys a field in Shechem, a place for his family to live. And then, of course, begins the tragedy of Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. After all of that is over, it says that they journey further into Eretz Yisrael, and the fear of God was upon all. Nobody was able to stand up to Yaakov and his children. Till he came to Beit El. Vayivin Shom Mizbeach, here I'm reading number 7. And he built a Mizbeach there. And he called the Mizbeach El Beit El. Kishon Niglu Elav Elokim. That's where God appeared to him before Chom Pnei Achiv when he fled from his brother. That's next week's Sedra. So we have now Chai Sarah told us, and Vayetze, when he has the dream at the beginning of Parsha Vayetze, where he sees that ladder going up to heaven, and the angels of God coming up and down the ladder, that was at Beit El, and now it's more than 20 years later, he comes back to Beit El, and he builds an altar to God. The place where God had appeared to him. Thomas Dvorah Mineket Rivka. Dvorah, the nurse of Rivka, died. Vatikove Mitachat LeBeit El, and she was buried. She was buried at the bottom of the mountain. At the bottom of the mountain, below Beit El, under the terebinth tree. Vayikro Shmo, and he called the name of the place Alon Pachut. All of a sudden, two things happen over here. We had heard about the Meineket, about the nurse. We heard about her as the one that Rivka takes with her when she leaves the house of Laban and Bethuel. And now we find out that she died. And it seems that there was a real evil. It was a source of great pain that she had died. Before I take a look at the Rashi, we have to go just a few psukim further. Vayeda Elokim el Yaakov od, God appeared to Yaakov again, bevoin bi Padan Aram, when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. Vayom elo Elokim, God said to him, Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikarei Shimcha od Yaakov. Your name will no longer be called Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yeshemecha. By the way, at the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach, it was the angel at the end of that nocturnal struggle by morning who is the one that says, your name will no longer be Yaakov, it's going to be Yisrael. And now that is confirmed. That's confirmed by God. And God called him Yisrael. God said to him, El Shaddai, pray, Yurevei, go, you call, go, you mean, Mecha, Umalachim, Echalotzecha, Yetzei, who gives me the great bracha, you should be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a community of nations will come from you. Kings will come from you. Here is the promise. God says, the land that I've given to Avram and Yitzchak, to you I will give, and to your children, acharecha, attain et haaretz, and to your children after you, I will give the land. Fatoma Devorah, the Rashi. My inyan Devorah, the Beit Yaakov. Rashi says, what's Devorah doing in the house of Yaakov? Yaakov had been now 20 years in Padan Aram. He's on his way back. All these years, Dvorah has been with Rivka wherever they were living, Be'er Sheva or Chevron. They divided their time between Be'er Sheva and Chevron. What's she doing out in the traveling with Yaakov? Mine and Dvorah v'Yis Yaakov. What is Dvorah doing in the house of Yaakov? Why is Dvorah in Beit El with Jacob's household, Eloh? Rashi says, because Rivka, when she sent Yaakov to Padan Aram, she told him, go there and I will send for you. I will send for you. I will send and I will bring you from there. Shocha Devorah etzlo, so she sent Devorah to him. The messenger that she sends him to tell him it's time to leave, she sends Devorah. And then she dies on the way as they're on their way back from Padan Aram. Devorah dies. I learned this from Moshe Hadarsha. Rivka had told Yaakov, I'm going to send somebody for you. She sent Devorah the Meineket. And now she's on the way back, and she never makes it back to her mistress, to Rivka. Tachat ha'alon, mitachat beit el ha'ir, the city Beit El was on a mountain, and she was buried beraglia her at the foot of the mountain. Tachat ha'alon, below the alon, Targum says, at the bottom of the plain. There was a plain above, there was the incline of the mountain, the burial took place. Place below, and that plain is called Alon. The Agada says, why was the place called Alon Bachut, the Alon, the plain of crying? Nidbaser Sham, Jacob was informed then, be able Shani, about a second cause of mourning. When he is there at the time that Devorah dies, news reaches him that his mother Rivka had passed away. He was told that his mother died. In Greek, Elon means another. There were two sources. There were two reasons for mourning. Devorah died and Rivka died. There is a Ramban, and I have to say that with a certain degree of fear and trepidation, I will tell you the Ramban, not the whole Ramban, but what is necessary for us. You don't have it on your sheet. If I would have put this on the sheet, you understand, you'd get all shook up. You know, how are we ever going to learn through this? And I don't want to shake you up. The Ramban says the following. It says, "Vatomos Devorah." The pasuk of Atomas Devorah, the Ramban is concerned, that pasuk seems to be inserted at a place where it doesn't belong. What was the pasuk before? The pasuk before says that he built a mezbeach, he built an altar in Beit El, the place where God had appeared to him when he fled from before his brother. God is appearing to him now, right? It's in the middle of a vision, and then the pasuk after the death of Devorah says that God appeared to him again when he came from Padan Aram, and he tells him, now your name is going to be Yisrael, no longer Yaakov, and he gets the great blessings of Trei, Revei, Goy, Ukahal, Goy, Mimech, and I will give the land to you. What's that pasuk? The pasuk seems to interrupt. It's an interruption in between or in the middle of this vision. God is appearing to him, and in the middle, he's building a mizbeach. God is talking to him, pasuk throws in that God appeared, that Devorah died. Like it's a jarring note in middle of a vision. God is appearing to him. So let's hear the whole story. Tell us the whole story. Don't interrupt it. And tell us that Devorah died. So the Ramban therefore says the Ramban says the following. He brings what Rashi says, that Alon Bachut comes to tell us that there was another death that took place at the time, and that's why the place was called Alon Bachut. And there are two sentences in the Ramban that I will have difficulty with. One of them is the Ramban says, Ki ein b'chi va'anoko al ha-meinekes ha-zekeno shi'yikarei shem ha-mokom alav. There is no crying, and there is really, there is no crying, and there's no mourning for an old nurse, a meineket hazakena, that the name of the place should be called for her. So therefore, the Ramban says, obviously, he had to be mourning for somebody else. And obviously, the somebody else that he was mourning for was for his mother. Avol Yaakov bochav Abel al imo hatzadeket. He, Yaakov, was crying and he was mourning for his mother, the righteous person, Asher Ahevatu, who he loved and she loved. And especially since, do you know how painful it was? Yaakov has been looking forward for 20 years to see his mother. And on the way, he learns that she has died. He will never see her again. That's very painful. Very painful. The Ramban says that's what he was crying about. He also brings the Chazal that says asks the question, why doesn't it simply say in the Torah, and Rivka died? And Rivka died! What's being concealed here? So Chazal say that there was a reason for concealment. Because Yitzchak was homebound. Yaakov was not home. There's only one person to represent the family at this Leviah. Esav. Shein betus ois kicken. This is really going to be a great tribute for the Mama Rivka, that the one who is going to eulogize her is Esav. Most probably with his sword, with his pistol, with his bow and arrow. Esav HaRosha. Esav HaRosha. So Chazal said, you know what they did? When she died, when Rivka died, they took her out at night and they buried her under the cover of night. It was a quick, quiet levaya, so that it should not be a levaya in the presence of the only member of the family who could be there, which was Esav. Then the Ramban deals with Devorah. What's Devorah doing here? And he has problems with Rashi. And there's serious problems. Rashi says that since Rivka had said, I will send and call you from there, so she sent. She sent Devorah to ask him to come home. What do you want from an old meineket? You know who you send? You send a young man, Pony Express, to go all the way to Padar Aram, Ois Mutchen, an alte Frau, for what? She was already very, very elderly. Go Mutchen her Ois, that she has to go to Padar Aram, and she has to tell him, Yanka Lekimahain, the mama wants you home. Doesn't make sense, the Ramban says. She should have sent, Rivka should have sent somebody of substance, somebody who can do this job. Why? Why her? Why her? So therefore he has difficulty understanding what Rashi is saying. So therefore he even wants to say that maybe this is not the same Meineket, the one that we learned in Parshat Chaye Sora, that Rivka left with her Meineket. That was a different Meineket. I don't know. And here he was bringing a Meineket with them, another one that they were bringing from Padan Aram. Rashi goes, the Ramban goes through all sorts of things, because people have many Meinikot. You know, he had 11 children. He had 11 children with him. So he was bringing somebody else. And then again, the last line in the Ramban is, Ki rochoku, it's too far out to believe, Shetia hazekena, that this old one should be the shliach that his mother should send to Yaakov to come home. And the Ramban has difficulty accepting the words of Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. All right. So some years ago, I had said I found Moshe Tzvi Nerya, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, comes up with a theory. And his theory is one, but I want to expand it beyond what he had said. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of questions. The most important question of all, and it's really one question, and that question was broken down into A, B, C, D. How did Rivka become the great tzaddikus? How is she the big balas chesed? How is she the daughter of Akosha, the brother of Akosha, in a place of Kishus, and she remains the great tzaddikus? So Rav Neri said the following. There had been a time in Padan Aram where two great people, Avram and Sarah, began their great journey through history. There were the souls that they made in Haran. There were the souls that they made in Haran. One of those souls was a Meinekes in the house of Besuel and Lavan called Devora. The fact is, she's either a fifth column or she is planted there by the Rabbeinu Shlalem, who has a sense of humor. It's a sense of humor that simply reverberates across the ages. She had a Rebbe. Rivka had a Rebbe. Her Rebbe was Devora. When she leaves the house of Lavan and Besuel, she takes her Rebbe with her. She's not leaving that Rebbe. Who is this Devora? Devora was a Talmidah of Avram and Sarah. Where do you think Rivka gets the idea of chesed and kindness to the great extent that she expressed and lived in her own life? Devora is being educated by Avram and Sarah. And who is that great Rebbe? That great Rebbe is Devora. Avram came to Eretz Yisrael with Hanefesh Asherosu B'Choron, the souls that he had made in Choron. For whatever reason, Rav Neri writes, you know, not all of them left. Some of them had difficulty, couldn't leave their families behind. No, I hold that here it was an act of Ashgacha. One great student of Avram in Sarah remains behind, because that great student, that Devora, she's going to raise Klal Yisrael. She is one of the most powerful and significant links in the chain of the development of Klal Yisrael. They're going to need a shidduch for Yitzchak. They're going to need a shidduch. Who are you going to get it from? From the Knanim? Where is she going to come from? A girl for Yitzchak. The Yitzchak who was the Ola Tamim of the Akedah. You know what you need? You need to create a girl of that sort. So there is somebody sitting silently in the kitchen. She's knitting. I don't know. She's peeling potatoes. But she is telling Rivka all that she learned in the house of Avraham and Sarah. The great heritage of Avraham the Sarah is being transmitted quietly to this Rivka under the very eyes of these Rishayim. They don't even know what's happening at the house. They're totally unaware. Why do you think when she hears from Eliezer that the mission that he has come, she runs to her mother's house? So Rashi said she ran to her mother's house because the women used to have a house of their own. I say she wasn't really running to her mother. Sitting over there in the corner is a woman by the name of Devorah. She wants Devorah to hear. Let my imagination run away with me. Devorah most probably told her, if Rivka ever asked her, listen, Devorah, you're making a tzaddikus out of me. Who am I ever going to be able to marry? There isn't a soul here in Padan Aram. And Devorah must have told her, marriages are made in heaven. There is a shidduch out there waiting for you. A tzaddik and a holy one. And Rivka's worried. And she keeps telling her that. And then all of a sudden, it happened. Devorah's been telling me all this time that the shidduch is going to come looking for me. She runs to the house of her mother, tells her mother, but wants Devorah to hear. The messenger's for Devorah. Devorah, you are right on. Exactly what you said is what's happening before our very eyes now. Is there any question now why, when she is offered a shidduch, the son of Avram, this little Rivka has heard about Avram and Sarah for years from Rivka, and now the son of Avram is going to be her zivug. She's asked, will you go with this man? One word, Eilech. I will go. She's been waiting for this. They don't know. This is a conversation that's really taking place between Rivka and the Meinekes. She knows exactly what's going on. She knows that this is what I've been waiting for. She knows that this means for me that I'm now going to become part of the house of Avram, the Avram and Sarah that created her Rebbe. Devorah. So we now, a lot of the questions that we began with have already dissipated completely. Yes, she comes from she has a father of Rasha, she has a brother of Rasha, the place is all Rishayim, but there's one significant person there. The Hashgacha, God's divine providence, has left a woman called Devorah there. But now we have the bigger problem. Devorah is a very old woman. Why is Devorah, as Rashi says in the name of Moshe Adarshan, why is Devorah the one that is sent in order to tell Yaakov, come home? So Rav Neria writes that Rivka knew that there is trickery and connivory and evil in her house, and that it's not going to be easy for Yaakov to extricate himself from the house of Lavan. It's going to be very difficult. By the way, we see how difficult it was. Every time he wanted to leave, and even when he leaves only because his father-in-law is not home, so he flees. And his father-in-law pursues him across the mountains of Mesopotamia. And the only reason why he causes him no harm, because God has to intervene and appear to Lavan and tell him, don't touch a hair on Yaakov Avinu's head. Rivka knows how difficult it is. But Rivka also knows that there's one person who has been able to negotiate the house of Lavan and Bethuel and succeed. There's one wise old woman that carries a whole universe in her mind. She knows Devorah is the one that's going to be able to get Yaakov out of the house of Lavan. Sort of, Neri says that's why she sends Devorah. Devorah will already maneuver. See here, here's the point at which I take up. I want to say something else, and it's based on an idea that's expressed by Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, in his great hesped on Rav Chaim Heller, who was his Rebbe. So he develops the idea that we say it in davening, Ala tzadikim, ala chassidim, al ziknei sheres, amcha beisof, al pleitas beisofrehem, the remnants of the house of the scribes. The Rav wants to know what are the remnants of the houses of the scribes. So he says, in every generation, there is a figure who towers above the generation, and he becomes the bridge. When you take a look at this man, he reminds you of Gedolei Yisrael of a previous generation. He's a colossus who brings together generations. I always say there was a little old Jew in West Hempstead who had lived in the house of Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, for a year and a half. I saw him every Shabbos, and every Shabbos I saw him, and he sat not far from me. I felt connected to Rav Meir Simcha. This old Jew was the one who brought together great generations. And I think that in 1930, in the train station in Warsaw, he saw the Chofetz Chaim. So when I saw this Jew every Shabbos in Shul, and I call him the old man because my father, Olav HaShalom, was living with me then, and my father was more than 10 years older than him, and he used to tell me, you know, he likes the old man. You know, that was the old man. There are people who take all sorts of generations together. The Rambam says it in his introduction to his great work, the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam says that there were a number of people like that. Serach Bas Osher was alive in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. She was able to tell Moshe Rabbeinu what happened in the house of Yaakov. Do you understand? A living witness. It's 300 years, 200, 300, 400 years later, and she's able to tell not only Yaakov, further generations. Gemara also says, and the Rambam brings it about Achia Hashiloni lived from the time of Moshe, past the time of Shlomo, hundreds of years. And Achia Hashiloni was a living witness of all that had taken place in all of those years. He was the great bridge, the great major link that held together all of the generations. So I say the following. I believe that there was a completely different mission that Rivka sent Devorah on. My theory is the following. Rivka may have felt that either her time is coming. She certainly knew that Devorah, who was much older, and there's something that's troubling her. She has Einikluch that she's never seen, and she will never see them. She dies before they ever arrive at her home. She'll never see Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, the Einigloch. Never see them. But it's more than that. When they arrive here, Avram and Sarah are no longer alive. Yitzchak is already elderly and confined. there's only one person living in the whole world who can describe to these children firsthand what Avram and Sarah were. There's one person on the face of this earth who can describe the great revolution that Avram Avinu created. The earthquake turned the world over until today. One person is still alive that can tell exactly what happened in Paddan Aram and in Haran and all of the difficulties that Avram suffered from his the fact that he was persecuted, thrown into the Kishon Eish, and he emerges. Only one person. That one person is Devorah. Do you know what she wants? She wants that her children, her grandchildren, should be exposed to this saintly woman who's the only one left on the face of this earth that can describe to them in detail what the Elta Zayda and the Elta Buba were, what Avram and Sarah were, not only for them, but what they did for the whole world. Only one person, and time is running out. She's sending Devorah with a message that, as we will see, is ultimately going to cement Klal Yisrael, create Klal Yisrael, that Elta Devorah, the Zekena, the Meineke Zekena. To Devorah's consternation, and here I theorize further, she was not thrilled about leaving Eretz Yisrael and going back to Paddan Aram. Help the Rabbeinu Shleilam. She is on her way out, and there in Shechem, who does she meet up with? Yaakov and the family are already on their way home. And she joins them in Shechem. She joins them. Shechem, Beit El. She joins them. Chances are that she must have been there approximately a half a year. And here my imagination, of course. Oh, this is where the imagination goes to work. She starts telling them about Avram and Sarah. These little Yingalech are sitting over there. They're sitting over there like, at least the father Yaakov still saw Zayda Avram. Did he see? No, he didn't see Baba Sarah. Yaakov himself? No? No, Sarah was a... Yes, she had died. Even Yaakov Avinu, tell me about the Baba Sarah. And I can imagine over there, Chveis Zvulun says, Devorah, tell me the story of the Kivshan HaEish again. I got to hear that story. That was great. Tell me, how did people react when the Zayd Avram comes walking out unscathed and unharmed? She spends a half a year in which she transmits the whole story of the greatest spiritual revolution the world ever experienced. She's the last eyewitness. The last eyewitness. By the way, there's something very important that we gain from this story of Devorah. I always wondered, the first chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the Rambam, he describes all of Avraham Avinu's youth. It's not written in Torah. Where did the Rambam get it from? Where do we have all of these medrashim that tell us everything about Avraham? It's not written in Torah. They made it up? Oh no, they didn't make it up. I believe that it became part of the Agada of Klal Yisrael by virtue of the fact that for a number of months this Devorah is telling the story, and what Devorah tells to the children, this is Torah, and it becomes part of Torah. Oh, now we're talking about a Devorah that's not simply being sent in order to extricate Yaakov, get him out of the house of Lavan. That's not what it's all about. She becomes the one who forms and forges Klal Yisrael. Because you know what happens now? Because of her, there are four generations that see one another. For Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all of those children, they now have a picture of Avram and Sarah before their very eyes. You know what has taken place now? There are now not only three, but four generations that know each other. This is an accomplishment of such greatness. This Devorah is the one that forms the very essence of a Jewish people. Because now all of the children of Yaakov are able to see before their very eyes Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka. They see it all. It's no longer merely hearsay. There's a living witness that is telling them the story. I therefore want to answer the Ramban's question. The Ramban's question was, why is this story of the death of the Meineket Dvorah, Meineket Rivka, why does this interrupt God's vision? He's appearing to Yaakov. Yaakov builds a mizbeach. God appears to him. In comes this jarring pasuk in the middle. Vatomas Dvorah Meineket Rivka, and she was buried there. And they cried and they cried. So first of all, they're not crying over some alter Meineket Zikena. They are crying over a woman who has created the Mesorah, the tradition of Klal Yisrael. It's a whole different story. This is not just an old woman who was sent to do some kind of a menial task to tell Yaakov, "Kenahim, that time you came home." She's creating Klal Yisrael. She's the one that has brought to all of these children the greatness of Avraham and Sarah. It's awesome what she has done for them. The pasuk comes here to tell us that she died then, which means, you know what she did? She accomplished the task for which she was sent by Rivka. And you know what we now have? We have the children of Yaakov who are ready to build Klal Yisrael. Therefore, God tells him, now your name will be Yisrael and not Yaakov, because Klal Yisrael has been built now. Who built it? Dvorah. Dvorah is the one who has brought all of the generations together. All of the generations together. Dvorah is the Serach Badosha. She is the Achia HaShiloni, except much, much more than that. Not only is she the Colossus who bridges the generations from Avraham and Sarah to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, by virtue of what she has done, she has made the bond that will be never ending. They're not crying over some alter zikena over there. Oh, they're crying for Dvorah, that Meineket. We understand now why Rivka would not leave her Meineket behind. You don't leave the Rebbe behind. You don't leave a woman as precious as that. And most probably that Dvorah was waiting for the moment that she too could join Avram and Sarah and Aliyah. She wanted to go all those years, but she knew that she had a mission. She had to remain there in order to create that zivig for Yitzchak. Where would Rivka find a zivig? Where would Yitzchak find a zivig? But there was the Rebbe Shem takes care of his. He leaves behind this Dvorah, who was the great Talmidav of Roman Sarah. Oh, does she do a job? Not only does she create the shidduch for Yitzchak, she's now going to take Yitzchak and Rivka's grandchildren, and she's going to make them aware of the great heritage to which they are connected. She does the job. And as soon as this is done, and she dies, and there is great mourning for her, because they realize the extent to which her testimony to the children has now created a Klal Yisrael. Therefore God now says, that's it. Now you're going to be Goy, Ukahal, Amim, Pre Udavei, Lechol Lzarachonatati Ataretz, you are now all together. Then I have this one other feeling. If I've let my imagination fly, who dies at the same time, Rashi says? Rivka. And there it is, you know who's meeting in heaven? Rivka and Dvorah. But wait a minute, we're not over. And Dvorah, soon as Rivka sees Dvorah, she says, Dvorah, did you get to them while you were alive? So she says, ugh, Rivka, I got to them. You just tell them everything. I told them everything. Oh, what lovely children they are. What lovely children. Zvulun was a little cold one night. I put a sweater on him. Oh, that's good. Then they joined. You know who dies soon after? Rachel dies. And Rachel joins them all. And Rachel tells them about another Yingala that was born, the first Sabra, Binyamin. And with that, we have brought together all of the generations. Dvorah is not a simple zikena. Dvorah is the heart, and the pillar of Klal Yisrael. Small wonder, there's a medrash that says that there was another woman afterwards who took the name Dvorah because she knew the significance of that previous Dvorah. Dvorah HaNeviyah, Dvorah the Shofetes, she was in tradition of that Dvorah. That's it.